way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
I didn't contribute anything.
Who'd have thunk that the Grassman's gift was going to actually almost kill you?
That was pretty close, and it's not because of the gluten.
Can you still feel it in your throat?
I can feel where it was. That corn chip almost got me. He died as he lived, eating corn chips.
I think I'm going to have to gargle.
And then proceeds to gargle.
I didn't know how else to get rid of it.
But did, you didn't did the gargling actually work, or was it just...
I think it worked it loose. I think that's what did it. Or me making all sorts of terrible noises.
I wish we would have been recording.
I know. Oh, it reminded me of that scene from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when Dell was trying to...
If I don't clear my sinuses, I'll snore all night.
But I'm more of a Neil than a Dell. You know that,
100%,
right?
Yes.
That's the only thing I don't like about watching that movie with my kids. Every time Neil is a prick to Dell, then my kids are like, oh... You're just like Neil, Dad. Hey.
You're messing with the wrong guy.
I'm a mix of Neil and Dell, okay? Lay off.
You're Neil in Dell's body.
Well, boy. All right.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Be sticking to water tonight.
To episode 81 of the Dutch by Association podcast. We are a day removed from my last council meeting that all three of us attended and all three of us spoke at.
Yes, all are in the record.
And two of us were quoted on the radio.
Oh, wow.
The two non-elected people.
Right? Yes. And then your speech, just for whatever reason, your previous employer neglected to publish it, any of it.
Well, I think they
your name didn't make
they
it.
They just didn't listen to like, oh no, we got all the good stuff. So
well, they fast forwarded to the controversial part and watched that, and then that was it.
Well, but they stayed. Yeah, no, you're right, because they heard Todd Yule
talk about Lewis and Clark.
Yep. Lewis and Clark. And then you heard the councilman ask the questions that have been answered 74 times already. So now the time I turn my Toffner down. So what about fish? Goodness. It's been published 1,000 times. Shut up. So should we be thinking about running the deep well?
We
think we're going to use it again? Oh, Todd Yule says, that's a good idea.
I never would have thought of that. I'm so glad there's councilmen here to explain the deep well and how to make sure it works.
You know,
I couldn't believe it.
Half of his job is dealing with that kind of crap.
But that, there you go. That tells you how informed the general public probably is when the people on the council don't even read their packet.
Right.
Well, the oldest person in the room last night assumed nobody read their packet because they'd submitted a letter proceeded to just walk through their letter.
Well, he added a lot, actually, to the letter. He got off on tangents reading his own letter.
And unfortunately, Doc didn't quite appreciate the 4-minute... I thought the mayor was very gracious.
When the mayor said, you have 15 seconds left, and then he burned up his entire 15 seconds saying, What?
I can't hear very well
what
anymore.
Was that?
And then, the mayor going,
what? Well, yeah, the mayor and the city manager could both learn to use the microphone. It's like Sam leans away from it. What? What the hell are you saying? You're the guy in charge here. Let's go.
No, the mayor's in charge. Up. It's the mayor's
meeting.
Well,
whatever. We know who actually runs stuff. That's what I mean.
That was a shot.
It wasn't a shot. That's the guy who's paid to do it. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right.
Yeah, mayor gets paid.
Well, not enough to make it a full-time job, or I certainly hope not.
You got that right.
Poor Greg, if that's the case.
So yeah, it was your last meeting. You're done. You yeah. had. Oh yes, I wish. I really feel bad. I'm gonna write Scotty V at KIWA Radio an email and say, listen to that thing again. Wayne had an incredible speech. He put minutes and minutes into the preparation of yes, that speech.
It was literal minutes.
Minutes of prep. And it was very good. Really good. Everybody cheered when you were done. You got, the crowd loved it.
Aaron and I talked before you joined us afterwards. I said, Wayne is going to love it. Aaron and I were both applauded. But you got the biggest round of applause yep. and of you, anybody yes. in the place. Yep. That's yes. got to put gas in your
and
tank.
And if you didn't have such a stretch of closed session, we both believed that you would come in and the first thing out of your mouth would have been, did you guys notice I got the most applause?
But that, yeah, yeah. Speaking of the closed session, that like that's some sadistic stuff. Like, oh, well, you're done. But let's sit through an hour, 45-minute long closed session.
I'm hoping there is some sort of emergency council meeting that gets called in the next week. Yeah, so yeah. you have to sit through one last slog of a meeting.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting. I'll just say that. I'll you know what? I'll see if I can probably pull that speech.
Yes.
From YouTube.
Yeah. And plug it in here.
And then you got to overlay like Hulk Hogan's intro music. And,
oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yep. Now this episode might get edited sooner than most.
I'm going to sound really good, yeah. guys. Now I'm
the
excited.
The episode about me, I better get on it.
That's right. We can't keep our listeners waiting.
From that boring crap about Mitch and Aaron.
So you probably better, well, one of you better give a little bit of background for our listeners. Why in the world would Mitch and myself, other than your retirement, obviously, why else yeah, would
been,
we?
This is your second retirement I've been to, actually. I came to the radio station the day you guys were done.
Yeah, another time where we expected just a really big crowd. And
it was me and Aaron's parents. And
no, there were a few 10, 15 people there.
Yep.
On the, you don't, no fond farewell. You just say goodbye and get
That's
out.
That's right. There's going to be no farewell tour here. Walk
through the cake in the trash. Get the hell out of here.
You're not going to hold this in the front foyer. Get out on the street.
I have visions of Walt like driving by, seeing that and saying, no, I'm not walking into that.
No,
I'm going to make another tour. I'm going to make another lap.
Yep.
But okay. So my getting into this last council meeting, a very controversial topic became part of the conversation, and that was the fact that the fire department feels that they need a new building, and they decided that it was going to be the only place that they could put it was on the west or the east ball diamond of the Sheldon Central City Park. And it may surprise you to find out people weren't really excited about that. As a matter of fact, this meeting is the second most, it might be tied, well, it might be the first most meeting that I've ever had, or as far as attendance goes. The other one was the Sheldon franchise fee discussion when we talked about, you know, maybe taxing you people for emergency
just electrical
services.
And gas users.
That's right.
Not everyone.
Just not, yeah,
everyone.
Not everybody. Not people in some of the trailer parks in town. You know, some of them didn't have water and sewer for multiple years.
It's true.
That's so right. That one's gone now.
Hopefully that's taken care of.
But
so the plan comes out. This is what it could look like if we put it on the baseball diamond in that area. And the what was at stake at the meeting was authorizing $50,000 to give to Beck Engineering, NOES.
Not Beck's.
Not the seed company.
Not the seed
Whatever.
Company.
We knew what you meant.
Thank you.
But
I didn't know till now that I'd been saying it wrong.
Oh, really?
Wayne pointed it out to me. said he thought that was pretty funny.
Well, yeah, because they quoted it that way in the story, well, too.
It's the Beck family that owns it.
So there's so multiple, there are multiple Becks involved.
Their engineering firm, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, the vote was to authorize spending the money to pursue a study on the feasibility or...
Not just the study, a plan.
Yeah, a plan, yes.
A draft of the building and the site.
On that property.
Correct, because they already had a preliminary draft, and then that was what they were going to run with for now, was continuing to use that. Correct. And then they were going to drill soil core samples in the soil there.
And I saw a lot of activity on Facebook with people upset about losing the park, losing square footage out there, losing the ball diamond, that type of thing. And until the meeting, I had not thought, and it was a huge thing at the meeting, huge theme, was the Avenue of Flags.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have been, Wally Waltheisen said, like 122 flags that would be displaced and have to go somewhere else. Like, now you're messing with the wrong generation.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You pissed off T-ball moms.
And then the lady that takes care of the marigolds out there.
Yep. You made her mad. So it's like, I didn't understand the allies.
It's almost as though a park is used by the whole town.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. All generations. That's
no kids use those diamonds anyways.
What a bunch of horse shit that was. I'm starting off the episode swearing right away, which I try not to do. But literally, they have practice for 4 to 6 hours during the day all through summer rec season out there. The city does it. The people who work there know that and have said that. And then I and other volunteer coaches, we fight for space on the fields because we have the other three ball diamonds out by the middle school out in that area. But guess what? During the daytime, that's all for junior high practices and games. And then we also have T-ball and we have blah, blah, blah. There's 8 grades worth of people trying to use these fields. So if you're going to have practices and games, it's damn near impossible to get field time. And we fight and I go to that field all the time because it's more likely to be available. And they're saying, well, no, nobody uses it. Well, they only use it during baseball. No shit. They only use a baseball field during baseball season.
How come nobody uses the hockey rink except when they're playing hockey? You know,
like, that's how dumb that sounds.
How come all they do is play basketball in the basketball gym? You know, shouldn't they do bowling in there?
Like, come on.
So as you might be able to pick up on when this vote or this proposal was first published, it made Mitch a little perturbed.
I think if we go through our texting.
Well, with that the would three not of us, be there was a lot of
well,
audience.
No, we wouldn't be publishing it, yeah. But a lot of our energy was devoted to it.
Yeah, and after it was aimed at me too.
Well, you're a representative of the city. You're obviously.
Did you even read the packet?
Well, you acted like that letter. All right, so they made the excuse that
this could be adapted to other places. Well, could be.
Well, of course it could.
Yes, if it's the same exact piece of property, it could be adapted to that property.
With the same entrance and exit and the same square footage and shape.
I asked the question.
I know you did. I wasn't trying to pick on you, but you're the guy that I know and am comfortable talking to the most. And most comfortable lambasting of anyone on the council.
It feels very like natural for you. Like it's like it's a part of your... Cool yeah, now.
And some people are pretending that, oh, well, that was just one of many options. We just happened to overlay it in the exact footprint of that ball diamond with a draft done by an engineer that cost $10,000. Right. But that was just by happenstance.
Right. Well, but then at the middle of the meeting after the public comment was done, then the councilman that is on the fire department, an important member of the fire department, I think a chief.
That would be a
just
chief.
Made the comment, we've looked at 6 pieces of property and this is the only one that'll work.
Which 6? Well, I can name 2.
Right. It was a mess and the city knew it was gonna happen because they put out a different packet
and what
laying out the rules for all of us sitting in the audience.
Yeah,
you can't speak to just one council member. You have to speak to them all. You can't ask us questions. Well, you can ask us questions, but we're not going to respond. And we have the right to be very pissed the entire time and scribble notes at our paper and never look at any of you once.
Yeah, one councilman in particular was, I don't know, fiddling with his iPad the whole time. I never once looked up.
I'm fairly certain he just went up and down the agenda. Like, that's all he did, and looked down. And I thought that was extremely disrespectful.
And childish.
Yeah, and I was...
Because it's like, you've got some people there that have been in Sheldon, and a piece of Sheldon, and a part of Sheldon for a very long time, talking.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
80 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
And
the one guy there, Vern Pruin, I didn't realize this. He and a bunch of other volunteers literally built that ball diamond. Yeah. They took fence from the old fairgrounds and they adapted it and built the fence out there. Everything except like the actual work done with bulldozers was done by volunteers with like scavenged materials. Can you imagine if you tried to
pull that off these days?
Well, it wouldn't be impossible.
Enough volunteers.
But like,
what an incredible
amount of work somebody put into that.
For sure. So, needless to say, the resolution was not passed.
Right.
Yeah.
5-0, though. Yeah, I thought there was going to be
he's never abstained when it comes to anything fire related because he can cite some sort of code of something that says that he's allowed to.
That's fine. But I know he didn't agree with what happened last night. You could tell by the look on his face and how he behaved.
Right.
He didn't agree with it. So I thought either he would say, no, we're not going to table this, or I'm going to abstain.
Well, I mean, he could read the room at least and say he was not going to win. I mean, it was everyone was very much, you know, I think every council person spoke up against it at some point during that conversation, other than him.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. Like, it's painted as they don't care about fire. They don't want us to have the stuff. No, technically, Wayne, you and I are part of the fire department. We're on EMA, which is a wing of the fire department.
We are a lesser part of it.
And I did take a little exception with the fact that they said, well, you know, EMA said they need more space. No, we don't. We need a little meeting table and a garage for our pickup, which we have. You know, is it the ideal setup? No, but we don't need the ideal setup.
It's not impeding our ability to
have people
absolutely
died?
Not.
Have people died? Because your pickup is parked at the library.
No. And, you know, to say that I in particular, because I'm more against it than Wayne is, but to say that I don't care about that. And I literally volunteer hours and hours of my time every single year and have for over 10 years. So don't give me that crap that I don't care about the fire department or that I don't care about emergency services in Sheldon just because I oppose the location of your proposed fire department. It's silly.
So what I liked was you didn't just say, I disagree. You said, I disagree. And this is why your reasoning is dumb. And then you proceeded to
safety in the parking lot and that I mentioned.
Yeah. That kind of seemed like you were just turning the knife a little bit. I was.
Hey, you know what? All right. So part of what was floated was adding on to the current fire station, which would then displace 8 parking spaces out of 24 in the parking area outside the fire department. But there's other parking nearby. But that would be impossible because these firemen who have all been trained in traffic incident management scene safety that Wayne and I have gone to know how to put out cones and wear reflective vests and how to always keep your eyes up for traffic. They couldn't walk across a parking lot because there's emergency vehicles and, you know, they're going and they're in a hurry and they could run somebody over because they got tunnel vision because they're trying to respond to a scene. And, you know, that's just too chaotic and somebody could get hurt and blah, 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 blah. So we can't have that. Okay, yeah, well, I can buy that. How about around the park? Well, everyone on the emergency services drives within the speed limit and obeys all stop signs, and they are 100% safe all the time, and suggesting otherwise is an insult to those of us, you know, who put on the fire coat. Like, well, wait a minute. I thought you grown men couldn't walk across a parking lot where there's a fire truck. But my 8-year-old that rides her bike there? Well, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Don't give me that.
Yeah. Hi, it was fun that Mitch kicked it off with a very well-written, very, just really good letter. And then I provided The end. It was a DBA sandwich.
Yeah, that DBA was great. Sandwich. Yeah. And I was right there in the middle of it all.
When I came in late. Justin just giggled with glee when I came in.
Well, because he had asked me, well, where's Aaron? Where's Aaron? And I said, I don't know if he's coming or not.
And then I came in and he just giggled with glee that the DBA podcast was all in the room at the same time. It's like some magic would
I love that.
Is going to perform I loved or something. It.
And true to form, I was the biggest dick of all.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I called out the whole council, too. And I made sure and went around and tried to make eye contact with everybody who would, well, everybody who would look at me, at least, as yeah. I did that. Yep. So, yeah.
And what was funny was you even had people, like, responding to you after the public comment period was over.
I can't believe I need to come to every meeting because Ken Snyder has never participated in a meeting to that extent.
You're
in correct. his tenure on the council.
Well, unless it involves alcohol at the park, then but yeah. Other than that,
there's not.
Well, I told you guys in our private chat. I said I should tell him that sometimes people drink beer at fire stations. He'll be hell bent to stop this thing. Yes. Nope. Yes. Now I know they don't here in Sheldon, but some fire departments do. And if I just put that little bug in his ear,
you know what they do at the fire station, don't you? Have a couple cold ones.
That's more of a Sutherland thing. But
well, Ashton Alton, I should say. Well, I don't know about Ashton. I mean, probably, but.
Well, when Ken started talking, I leaned over to Greta and I said, is he talking to Mitch?
He was she said, addressing yes. me.
Yeah. I said, why is she singling out Mitch?
Yeah, like he and was pointing.
And then she says, well, Mitch did say that none of the council said anything or asked any questions. And I went, oh, that's right.
And he was, he was hurt a little bit by that.
He was, yeah, 100% he was. Because, you know, once the meeting was over, at the end of the meeting, we're like, trying to get done, and it's been a long meeting, and we know we've got closed session coming up, and, anything from this side of the council? Well, I must say.
Roundtable is the worst thing in the world. It's like, it's such a roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this could be the longest, stupidest thing in the world, or this could go quick. Let's make this go quick, everyone. And then now, always got to be somebody.
And he's like, "Well, in my time on the council, I've had nothing but nice people talking to me, and I don't know. I was told to be ready to be yelled and screamed at and sweared at, and maybe it's because I'm a minister, but I haven't had any of that." And he went on for like 3 minutes. And it's like, like I've got my speech. You're upending my speech. You're wasting these people's time.
I got him in a talking mood.
You did?
He even did. At the end, he's like, is that explanation acceptable to you, Mitch? And I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to like say something. I was like, sure. And kind of gave him a thumbs up. Like, yeah.
You're supposed to accept his forgiveness.
Yeah.
Accept his apology. Grant him forgiveness. Yes. I don't know what you were supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't know. But.
And then finally made it around to you. And Teddy Roosevelt, man in the arena.
It was
all of you who were here complaining tonight.
I didn't
see
that.
Your names on the ballot.
I mean, that was kind of the tenor of the message, but it wasn't. It was delivered in a much more eloquent fashion. It was all of you here tonight participating in public discourse,
and so it's said there to the people that are either serving. Or who have, I mean, there was maybe a handful of people there that like to complain all the time, but don't actually serve and do anything
right.
at all.
Yep.
That's why I think the paper and the radio need to pick up on what you said and put that out there.
Yeah. Well, Justin.
And that's why you're going to hear it here yep. on the DBA podcast.
Well, yeah.
The tissues ready.
Yeah. We'll
pull
do it,
over.
We'll do it at the end of the episode to stretch this thing out. Yeah.
Oh, and then you'll look at the analytics and you'll just see every single person made it to the end of the episode.
A lot of people, that's all they listened to probably was Wayne's speech. I would imagine. People fast forward to that.
Oh, right.
And then play it and replay it and replay it. Rewind and...
get the tear out of the eye. And well, if we see a dramatic uptick in volunteerism in the city of Sheldon, we'll know. We'll know for sure. But until then, I guess it'll be kind of a moot.
Judging by the percentage of people who said they were coming to the meeting last night versus how many actually showed.
There were a bunch of... Yes, on Facebook, it was all the T-ball moms were just wound up and ready to come, and none of them came.
No.
The only person who would have kids in T-ball that was there would have been you and Greta.
Yeah, we were the only rec parents. There were some rec grandparents there.
Mm-hmm. But again, to my point earlier, the biggest block to be upset were the veteran loving block.
Mm-hmm.
and the greatest generation.
And the people who show up to vote.
Yes. You're not wrong there. Yep.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me to another question that we've talked about before. But Mitch, you're the oldest young man that I know, so you're the most.
Yeah. What did Greta say last night? She said it last night that when you were born, you were an old man. I think that's what she said. Isn't that how she said it?
I think she said I was very mature as a child. Or
No. Like you were born an old man.
Well, maybe.
That sounds right. That sounds right. But you think about how do you ingest your news? Or do you? Now, Mitch and my business partner, John's much the same way. Like, he will sit down and he will read the paper. And I'm reading the paper right now.
If you take your 30 to 40-year-old demographic, what percent does what you do, purchases the paper and reads it? It has to be under 1%.
You'd think so.
It's very few, but it's so stupid. It's cheap. And so many people have no idea what's going on. And then... how come nobody told me? Like I've said before, they expect the town crier to walk around and tell them what the hell's going on. I didn't know recycling changed. Well, it's only been in the paper 8 times and on the radio, and it was posted on Facebook and every other place. We're supposed to go door to door with this crap?
So I think
take some initiative and seek out the news.
There used to be a responsibility that you had to actually pursue and look for the news.
Right.
Yeah.
And now that's gone.
And you can't even be, you know, even when it's thrown in your face, there's people that can't be bothered to look at it.
It's true.
Yeah. And I read every city council meeting agenda and packet almost every 2 weeks. And I go through all that stuff.
During the day at your job. Not all of us get paid.
No, I do not. On my lunch break, I do that.
And when I'm in the shitter.
That too.
But we couldn't make it an episode.
I made a conscious effort to not talk about my pooping.
It blows my mind. People arguing that like I and other people, Wayne, didn't know what we were talking about the fire station. I'm like, what? You ran into one junior firefighter at the bar and you're telling me that I've seen all of the stuff about this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's mind boggling.
And I'm just going to throw it out there. There are those who bitch and there are those who do.
And those that do both.
And those that do both.
Are you? You're kind of looking at me.
You've already shown that you're not shy in front of a microphone. You have very strong opinions, and you're
only about certain things.
And you're not afraid to let people hear it, whether they want to or not. So, kind of sounds like you are council or mayor material.
Maybe someday. I volunteer for too many other things right now. When my kids get older.
Let's take you for example. Okay. Mitch, come on a walk with me.
Yeah.
We're going to look at Wayne. Wayne before he's elected, and then Wayne during election, when he's elected and a member of council, and now. Wouldn't you agree that Wayne is rather neutered as a councilman?
Yes. And that's not an insult to you, but everybody...
Because you talk big and you talk tough and then you get elected and then everything's toned down. You don't breathe the fire. Part of it is you learn how the sausage gets made.
Right.
Right.
Well, you think about every new politician, you know, on whatever level. I'm going to come in and I'm going to change.
I want term limits.
Why are you running for re-election?
Huh.
I will be the one that influences change. And with out-fail every single time that flame is extinguished. And it was extinguished in me, too, which it's unfortunate.
So is it better that Mitch doesn't run and Mitch just writes very eloquent things to either put at the letter to the editor or read at council meetings?
Well, it's all about the results.
I got a message on Facebook today that I saved the park.
That's a hell of a result.
Wow.
I'll take that. I don't actually think that I saved the park, but I was like, oh, well, I apparently somebody thought I did. So,
but
they didn't. Did you get any of those?
No, I got a lot of thank you for your service. It's a really shitty job. So, but no, it's all about in what capacity can you most influence change? Is it as a council member?
Is it on Kiwanis?
Or the Rotary?
And Rotary and Chamber Board and Housing and Development Board and Church Board and EMA. And coaching three sports.
Oh, just think you can trade leadership all team. Those in. Trade them all.
No, I like all of those. I like all of those. See, I.
Oh, you don't do city council because you like it.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't.
Well, how about you put?
I think I'm doing just as much good for the community.
How about you put the needs of others in front of your own needs for once?
Those aren't my own need. None of those are my own needs. What are you talking about?
Your own need to be personally fulfilled by those items since you enjoy them.
You thought you were going to be fulfilled by the council, and it turned out that was not true.
It hollowed out and turned me into a hollow shell of a man.
So, and here, Wayne and I have both had the city council experience now. Both have left just like dogs that have been beaten. And now it's your turn.
Yep.
When my kids are out of the house, I would love to do that. Oh, my
gosh. Okay, well, we'll remember that.
What's wrong with that?
What about when you can help influence things that will enrich your children's lives?
I already do. All of the stuff I just mentioned.
Okay, you can coach basketball, or you can help make sure there are more basketball courts for all children.
Uh-huh. Not just those on the east side.
Oh, my gosh.
Your privilege is showing. Your privilege is showing.
Don't even. Don't get me started on that. You want another rant about that?
Well, we are 30 minutes into this one, so let's take a break. We'll be back with segment two right after this. Mitch, how many times has your wife been on the cover of the newspaper? My God.
It's been a lot.
Does she get paid for that?
Holy
crap.
Is it again?
Yeah, because it's lighting up Sheldon. Live Healthy Sheldon.
Yeah, between that and lots of other stuff over the years. Well, how long has she been there? Almost 13 years.
I bet it's twice a year for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I've never been on the front page.
Until this coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hope not.
Justin got a lot of good photos of you.
I don't think he did, because I didn't know he was taking photos. So
you didn't know? You didn't
I
know
he was? I couldn't hear the shutter over there. I didn't know. Well,
get up and stand in front of the people and take
I know,
the
but
pictures.
I didn't notice him.
He didn't take any pictures
He's
of
very
me.
Very stealthy.
Yeah, because he moves very gingerly. I do like this first line of his news story, and it's not of this meeting. It's on the preview story. Christmas is approaching, but Councilmember Pete Hamill does not want the Sheldon City Council to become a presentation of wish lists for departments.
Well, I like that.
I'm sorry, I pulled up the website because I was looking for something else, and then it's just like, yeah, there's Greta again.
Again.
Hmm.
Well, of the two of us, this may surprise you, but she is the most photogenic.
No, I believe you 100%. No, I was really happy to be able to sit by her and not you last night at the meeting.
Well, thanks.
It was way more fun. And you were so fidgety when I got there.
I wasn't fidgety.
Well, so nervous, shaking.
I wasn't nervous.
Thumbing your notes.
I wasn't nervous. I was trying to keep an even keel.
You're like, I'm going to bring my phone up there because if they screw me out of 5 seconds of my, out of my four minutes.
I thought about setting my timer on the podium and I didn't.
Sir, my timer says, well, shit, now it's up because I had to explain that my timer was better than yours. It'd be like the reverse of what happened with Doc Z.
Greg was so locked in on what I was saying, he was oblivious to his time.
You could have talked for 6 minutes. He wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah.
He was eating it up. Just a great presentation. Not monotone. You did a great job. Wow. Nice job. I prefer the impromptu.
Right.
I would prefer as well. I actually would. But this is not a topic that I'm usually talking about, and I didn't want to meander, and I had specific points I wanted to make.
No, it's important.
He had knives to twist.
I did, actually. Yeah, that was...
He had stupidity that needed pointing out.
Usually, if I'm in a situation like that, I'll give myself bullet points.
I do normally. Like, if I was giving a work presentation or something where it's something that I know and it doesn't... There's no time limit, and I don't have to.
Yeah, the no time limit thing. Right.
That's what
I would have been in
off.
Trouble if I would have worked through bullet points.
Yeah,
in your shoes last night, I would have.
That's
gone
where.
Over.
That's why I was going to condense what I had into bullet points, but then I was like, I'll get off track. I'll start adding in something because I'll think of some smart ass thing to say, and then I'll run out of time, and I won't have made the points I wanted to make.
Yeah,
but you are an interesting specimen. In so much as your talent doesn't lie in the first strike, your talent lies in the counter strike. And I've always said that you are the world's best counter puncher. Like your quick wit and like a snapback, it reminds me of the meme of the guy, you know, like everyone's going, ooh, and you have the one kid that grabs his face and then falls down. Like that's you. So I can see how maybe an entire speech would be difficult because it seems like your talent comes from the like instant.
Well, yeah, but I would think of those things as I'm going. And that's what I'm saying is that why I might get off topic. And because I would think of in another thing while I'm thinking about it. And then, crap, I forgot to point out their hypocrites about the traffic thing, you know?
Right. Yep.
So,
yeah. Well, you know, people after hearing us go to break, some people said, thank goodness they're done talking about Sheldon City politics.
Well, we are done talking about
it. And then they tune into the second segment and go,
they're still talking about
it. No. This was entertaining. We're kind of debriefing. We're debriefing now.
But
I didn't get a chance to compliment you and how well you did off the cuff.
Well, I'm glad we brought this back up in the second segment.
As a non-citizen.
But I pay property taxes here.
But you had you like wrote notes on things that were happening and then provided a very, very succinct and very accurate.
Oh, there were no notes. I just had the agenda that I brought up.
Oh,
there.
I thought you had like written
no,
on the
I
backside
didn't write
of it.
I didn't write anything.
He had mental notes. I could see him over there like making little check boxes.
I'm like, okay, this, I should say this and this and this. And so my thing was, you need to have a conclusion.
Right.
And that's why I kind of sat and waited and waited and waited. And the conclusion had to be vote no on the resolution. The conclusion couldn't be go ahead and spend the $50,000. Just don't build it there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not what this was about. It wasn't about whether it should be built there or not. The action that was going to be taken wasn't if it could be built there or not. The action was going to be spending the $50,000. The fear was once that's spent, the ball is rolling and then it's just foregone. Well, we've come this far.
Mm-hmm. And Mitch was trying to influence my vote. If you don't say something, you're going to be the biggest dumbass that I know.
I didn't say that.
It was something to that effect.
You know what? I don't remember you saying that, but it kind of sounds like something you may have said.
No, I said if you had any balls at all, your last act as a councilman would be to move to dismiss the proposal.
Yeah, and you didn't.
And
I did.
You didn't move.
He gave Pete $20 to do it.
Pete really didn't make the motion.
No, because I said it, and then Micah says, like, okay, is that a motion? And I said, do we need a motion for this? And then we got into something else, and Pastor Ken was probably going back to Mitch and...
Thing, I'm also sorry about this, Mitch.
Do you forgive me?
For a minute, I thought you said, well, I'm also sorry about this, bitch.
No. I can't.
On the list of things you never imagine, have to worry about,
never,
Pastor Ken
never
saying.
In a million years.
Wow. That would be a great heel turn, for sure.
I don't think he's stubbed his toe. at his house by himself and uttered words even remotely close to that.
Right. You're not wrong.
He's a very clean man. Okay, we're done.
But speaking of the good Lord and his wondrous ways.
And providence.
Let's talk Western Christian.
Yes. Where things are a little better.
Just a bit.
Be careful. I'm going to get lightly, boys. The last bad review that we got
was when I said.
Oh, this is a tired bit. It's very tired.
Well, the guy from Denver who has an alert set up that somebody talked about Western somewhere in the world.
He's in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Then I got the lengthy email from a grandmother that listens. Right, yep. And it's like, look, I love Western. Okay,
you give them money.
I used to give them a lot of money.
Now you redirect funds now from Kim Reynolds.
Funds from Governor Kim Reynolds. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
By the way, Western and other Christian school parents, if you are in Iowa, you can go on to the portal, and if you need computers. We got a few on there.
Yes. Go to Odyssey. Yep. Log into your kid's account and click
buy.
Bye. And then it pops up. So Wayne is officially part of, I don't know, whatever we are. What are we? The Christian School Society.
Right.
Something.
I am a preferred vendor of.
That sounds much more businesslike. You're a preferred vendor.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever called you that before.
Well, no one actually did. I gave that nickname to myself, so you know how self-made nicknames go. But
so I'm not sure if this episode is going to come out before Christmas or after, but we are sitting on Thursday. Christmas is Monday. And
it's Monday.
Yes. And Sheldon, well, yeah, for you, it's tough because your daughter's going to go to school till about 10 p.m. Christmas Eve.
Right.
In Sheldon.
Sheldon is just so scared.
Well, somebody said that Western had 6 snow days by today already, or 6 missed days. Shouldn't call them snow days.
No kidding.
Because there was volleyball in there.
Yep. And so it's like, holy smokes. And now they haven't. I think they did take 2 for volleyball again this year. But regardless, there were snow days that affected every school around. And now we didn't burn any. My kids got out at 11:30 today. Your kids will go till tomorrow sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All day.
And then back at it. They only get 7 days off for Christmas. I remember always getting like nearly and sometimes 2 weeks.
Right. You'd get that whole stretch from. From Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving.
Well, it's that long would be overdue. Nice. Wyatt told me he just, it's been tough. He needs a break.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Dad, I need some days off. Those shoulders,
they're not broad enough.
Sixth grade is really wearing on him.
Wearing him down.
Yep. He's starting to experience some burnout, I think.
No. Hopefully 7 days off is going to be enough.
I need some time away from science class.
Yeah, recharge those batteries. Yeah.
Is he doing okay? I mean, can you see his grades kind of start to hit a little bit through the last few weeks?
I think he's doing fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. They still don't have letter grades.
Yeah.
What?
You got a Q.
In sixth grade?
Yep.
Not till, I think, seventh and eighth.
Do they have what's called JMC for you guys?
Uh-uh. No, I know what you're talking about, but no, yeah, Sheldon doesn't do that.
So I can log into all of my kids and see their grades up to this day.
Well, I can see like some assignments and stuff, but it's like it's not pass fail because there are more degrees of separation than that. But I still don't understand.
He gets a T for trying.
Yeah, like I just don't know like where the bracket occurs because we had an A was 91 sure. to 100 or whatever. There is no definition of that. It's have you attained the skill? Have you mastered the skill? Or are you lacking in the skill? Well, I don't know what the hell that means, right? Like what? Because they're like, oh, well, he's in the middle, but that's actually an A.
Sure.
Well, no, it's not.
No, not.
So but it is because it's today. Not expected to have mastered it by this point in the year. I'm like, but shouldn't you be graded relative to the point in the year?
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, we're old fogies.
I just don't get it. The teachers get it, and they said he's doing fine. So I'm just like, whatever. I don't know.
I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust you.
Well, I mean, they're doing is just teaching to the Iowa Test of Basic Skills because that's all that matters.
No.
Because that's
That's how you get your money.
I will say Sheldon does not do that because they refused to do new math. They did like all the old school multiplication and division.
Oh, really?
But, yep.
Oh.
But there were like two questions that the kids kept missing because if you didn't do any new math at all, it would have been impossible. You would look at that and it's like mm-hmm. hieroglyphics, you know? And then I think that was either fourth grade or fifth grade. I don't know. A year or two ago, Wyatt, he said they actually spent like 1 week working on doing it the goofy ass way that they do it now.
Yeah.
Just so that hopefully some of the kids at least would get that right
What a waste of frickin' time.
Well, right. But at least they're also teaching them the way to do it what I would consider normal. But my parents thought normal was a typewriter and a rotary phone too. So I don't want to be that guy.
But we are. Here we sit.
You're not going to be 40 for another couple of years yet, and you're still...
Well, a little over a year, yeah. I'll be 39 in January.
So we have school break now in our house, but we also have sports break.
So. So does that last as long as the school break?
I don't think quite as long, but there is no practice, games.
Well, even the varsity has like a dead week in there.
And is I it think a whole it week? Starts yeah. now, yeah. So that's good for them. But
is he still working out in the old garage weight bench?
He does do not as much now because he's in season, but will do a little bit there.
Will he play back to backs?
What do you mean?
Oh, it's a basketball thing. I guess they don't ever have two games in a row.
No, they not usually.
I mean, well, I'm just wondering if there's like a load management quotient here.
Oh, he's not LeBron. He's tougher than LeBron. Well, he's
tougher than LeBron. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. So Ace has ordered, he asked permission. I granted it. He ordered in creatine.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
And he doesn't like the protein shake because of the clumps. So clumpy.
Doesn't he put it in the blender?
No, and I tell him to. I get enough protein. I get this many grams. And then
does he have a shaker? Like a shaker ball thing?
Yeah, he uses a shaker ball, but it's still clumpy. So,
well, maybe that's a sign that you're not strong enough. Yeah. If you can't handle a blender bottle. Come on, kid.
And to be honest, by this time in his career, he should be very familiar with that motion.
Well, get him a shake weight. Remember those?
Yeah.
That'll teach you how to run a blender bottle.
Yeah. So we had a little bit of a hiccup with Asa with JV basketball. So I'm really excited he's getting to play. A lot of boys who had more skill than Asa had decided not to do basketball this year. So that moved him up and allowed him to play.
Winning by default.
Yes.
Winning by default.
So now you've got the boys playing that want to play. That's good. And because there's a lot of boys, I'm sure you saw this in your own high school, that had the skill set to play but just didn't want to for whatever reason.
Now, Western's always been a basketball school. Is that still a thing after football took off?
Yeah, it's still huge basketball.
So then why would these kids not want to be part of that?
That's a good question. I know one of them didn't because he's just kind of injury prone and wanted to basketball is just really hard on him physically, so then he just wanted to do something different, and it's a pile of work.
Yeah.
And I've always been amazed that Asa can come home happy from practice, and because I know how much running he did.
Oh, then he's not worked hard enough.
They drive them boys into the ground. I remember one time the old coach brought brownies in after a really bad game, made him eat them, and then ran them until somebody puked. I mean, that's what we do here. I mean, we don't do that now. But
that was okay 2 years ago, but
that was a long time ago. That's when I was running around the top of the gym for track, and we were warming up for track, the track team. And we were all saying, thank the Lord we're not on the basketball team where they run. That's what we said as track guys. Can you imagine having to run as much as the basketball team is running? But that's what they do. They're fast for all of the minutes. And sure, you might keep up till halftime. Eventually, they're going to wear you down and you're going to be done. Anyways, that's kind of the idea. It's just fast. So he played at Marcus Meriden Cleghorn Remsen Union in Remsen last week, maybe a little. I had to peel out. We were all together. It was a Friday night game. I said, I gotta head out, fellas. I got to be dad of the year. I'm going to go watch my son. So I went up there and watched him. And the game's over. I'm sitting in the Sanborn section with some other Sanborn people.
So four people were sitting.
Three of us.
Do you guys have your own water fountain, too? Or
the east of the Floyd section. And because we kind of, you know, we come together with the Sheldon people. We're kind of a.
Yeah.
So he all of a sudden I get a text. Are the doors open to the truck? It's like, no. And he texts, I want to go home now. Like, what? Oh. I paid money to get in here. And as a Dutch person,
I paid $5
every minute of basketball. And so I was like, well, okay, whatever. Something's got, I didn't recognize anything happening in the game. He played a lot. So we get to the truck and he's just butthurt and wouldn't say a thing. And it took like five. I kept guessing. I said, did this happen? Did that happen? Did this happen? And then finally he spits it out and says the coach had asked him to play. So he's a sophomore. Mm-hmm. The following day, the freshmen were playing. The coach had asked him and two other boys to play with the freshmen the next day. And he took that as a huge insult.
He was demoted.
Yeah, demotion.
Yeah.
And was pissed.
I'd be pissed.
And... You'd be pissed. So Mitch apparently understands more. Well, and then
no, I would be pissed. You'd be pissed.
But they call it JV reserve.
Yeah.
And I'd never heard that before in my life. And Asa just said, well, they were playing Sioux Center. And Sioux Center was going to have sophomores play. So they called it JV reserve. So he's going to be playing JV reserve. And he was really mad about that. And it took the rest of the ride home, but explaining to him that the more touches he gets, the more minutes you get. And if you look at the level of play, it's not going to be quite at the level of play at JV.
You're going to kick ass on all these freshmen.
You're going to look really sharp. And you're going to have an opportunity to be a leader on your team. I said, you need to go out and you need to be a leader, be vocal and cheer, be happy for these freshmen. These freshmen will look up to you and say, I really like that guy that played with us. He wasn't an asshole. He wasn't pissed that he got stuck with us guys. Mm-hmm. He didn't think he was better than anybody else. He had a lot of fun and he helped us hopefully win the game. And by the time we made it home, it's like finally got that cloud out of his brain and got him to realize this is a heck of an opportunity.
Because it's not like the coach said, you can't play with
you're
the
not going to play with
anymore.
Us anymore.
No. Well, and it was the coach giving him. So the five starters. So there's eight boys on or nine boys, I guess. So there are five starters. And another guy don't get to play on Saturday. They just stay home and you have an opportunity to play the game you absolutely love and you're pissed. Come on, man.
Right.
And thankfully he didn't do the, because my dad is saying it, it's stupid as young boys do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing
he
to see it.
He saw logic.
He saw logic.
Wow.
And he's like, we got home and then he was like really okay. And I was like, oh, thank the Lord, because this is no good. He shows up tomorrow and he has his butt hurt about him. Mm-hmm. What's the freshman coach going to tell the JV coach? Yeah, you don't need to send him again.
Yeah. Right. Starts pulling a Draymond Green.
And- That's my youngest son. So
the whole JVR thing, that was new to me, but that's what Sibley O'Cheaton is doing because they couldn't field a girls varsity team this year.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I asked some people because I hadn't heard of it. Apparently, it's been a thing for a while because lower participation schools don't have enough for a freshman and a JV.
Sure.
So then they just kind of, it's kind of a mix and they call it a JVR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hybrid team basically.
So what made me very happy and proud as a father was I got a message from his coach later that week saying, hey, Aaron, I asked Asa if he'd play Tuesday night or whatever night, JV reserve again. And he said that he would be happy to.
Oh.
And I went,
yeah.
Good. You need to let your coach know that I don't give a shit what you ask me to do. Even the crumbs, I will take the crumbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty exciting.
That's a good lesson.
And he's still bad. No, he's not bad. No, he's not good enough to start. But it takes the time and it takes the touches if you want to get anywhere.
Yeah. When he started late anyway.
Right. You know, yeah. You're just looking.
He wasn't doing AAU and all that shit back in the day.
No, because now you look at John, who's in fourth grade. Next year, he's starting AAU basketball.
Yeah.
Yep. And because he's seen his brother do it, he absolutely loves it. But then, so you, to your question, why did these boys get out of basketball? And this is a question I want to pitch to, because we have kind of a deal with Western's athletic director, co-director, and varsity boys basketball coach, Derek Kaiser. He wants to come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's tough during the school year. But yeah. He wants to come on. And I want to ask the question, is these kids doing AAU in fifth grade, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, burning them out? And that's why we can't get the numbers, because we've sports the crap out of these kids. That would be my fear with John is we get him started and then he gets to eighth grade and just says, well, I'm tired. Forrest Gump when he ran.
But at the same time, you think about when they're that young, if you're if you find yourself on a team that's not very good, that's going to suck the will out of you. Right. I mean, how do you feel at that age when you're oh, do I want to play basketball? Don't I? I mean, it seems a cool thing to do. But if you're bad, and I'm not saying that any of these teams are bad, I'm actually thinking back to my days playing what we would call AAU. But no, it was actually more of a city league baseball when I was in sixth and seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I'd played baseball all through my youth, and we were runner up 2 years in a row, my sixth and seventh grade. And I said, you know what? I'm done. Forget this. This is dumb.
Because you didn't win at all or what?
Correct. Yes.
I don't know. Runner up doesn't
sound bad. Yeah, you say it now, but in seventh grade, you're
right. Sure. Right. Yeah. You want to win. And that's the thing. It's tough because I coach all my son's youth sports, and I definitely don't want to alienate an 11-year-old from any sport, because there's so much development that can happen physically and then just from a skill set standpoint. A lot of kids aren't spending the time that some of the other ones are, so they're, if you want to develop, you actually have to do something. True. It's not all just natural talent, right? And but the kids want to win, or they at least want to be in the game. So you have to balance that, being fair and letting everybody play with at least, all right, I can't let so-and-so do this job on the baseball team because it'll be embarrassing for them.
You're right.
And I don't want to put him in that place. And I also know it's not going to be good for the team, and everybody else is going to be frustrated if they run up five runs in an inning because I put a guy out there in a place he shouldn't have been. But I got to let the kid play, and they're not going to learn if you don't let him do it.
And that's got to be a delicate balance, because, if you do put a kid in that position and they just fail, and they fail hard, that could sour them from the entire sport altogether.
Yeah, and I have done that a couple times, and not...
You've made kids fail?
Not on purpose. they begged and asked, and they did just well enough in practice that I thought, okay, we'll try you at that spot for an inning. And it didn't go well. And I really probably didn't think it would, but I didn't know how else to get around it without being, I'm the mean coach that won't ever let them try it. Yep.
Right. Yep.
I don't want to be that guy either.
I remember in fifth grade, fourth grade, somewhere in there, I wanted to be a pitcher so bad. So I lobbied and lobbied and lobbied. And finally, I got the call.
Mm-hmm.
Got the old,
needing the righty. Yeah, need the bring righty. In the righty.
Yep. And 16 consecutive balls later, I was taken out, and I handled it like an asshole. Threw my glove over the backstop. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what this is like.
I remember 16 straight balls.
Yeah. And I remember the coach being like, you don't think I don't know about this? When I was in high school, we were playing the championship, and we won the semifinals, and I had to have my jaw wired shut, and I couldn't play in the championship. And you're telling me that I don't know what it's like not to be able to perform on the highest level?
Oh. Well. Sorry, sir. Well, it's tough. But back to what you were saying about the burnout thing. I don't know. I mean, if you're traveling all over the world, if you're going to Des Moines and you're going to Omaha and you're doing all those things, but if you're talking local AAU, which means that you play in six or eight tournaments locally, I mean, that's what we do.
Right.
I think we're in 8 tournaments this year, but they're all within an hour, most within a half an hour. And they're all usually a 3-game thing. So it's either you play in the morning or the afternoon on a Saturday, and we do 1 or 2 practices a week. I don't know. If you get burned out off of that, then you probably didn't. You were never going to make it in at a higher level, right? Like, if that's too much to ask of you. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, if that was that, that's not a lot of effort to me.
I had never thought about it that way until a guy that still refs, from a local guy. He had brought that up, because when they go to some of these schools to do football, some of them can't get enough kids to play football. And he attributed it to they've played too many years of it. They're just tired of football. And yeah, I don't know.
But is it because they've played too many years in a non-satisfying way? Like I mean, you have to derive some level of joy, or you know, some sort of carrot that dangles to get you to the next level. Now, you could be a spoil sport like me and said, I got to the championship game and lost 2 years in a row and I'm done.
It is tough. Success breeds success.
It does. Yeah. Look at like West Lyon in football. Every year there'll be a year they graduate 9 seniors who all started. So it's a lot of them both ways, and you're like, well, they can't possibly be good next year.
Yep. And what you don't see and understand is there's 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th grade boys in the stands every that Friday are watching. Night and want in the worst way to have a piece of that.
But right. Okay, so then what I'll say to the contrary, just to be contrarian, Boyden Hall, look at their football team. I mean, they won championships. They were dominant.
Boyden Hall Rock Valley.
Yes, Boyden Hall Rock Valley, exactly. And then now they're a shell of themselves. How does that happen? Now you get, I get it. If you're like, and I hate to say it, but if you're Sheldon and you don't have a winning tradition, like if you're.
But we did not that long ago.
I know, but that's a different conversation for a different time. But if you're, you know. Like, you're watching, you know, if you're 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th grade and you're watching the football team win championships and you say, I want to do that and I want to be that. So I'm going to do the same thing they did. I'm going to go to the lifting dates. I'm going to do the non-required practices. I'm going to do all the extra things that it takes to get you there. How much of that is just like, oh, well, this class doesn't have the talent versus this class didn't have the drive or missed that part of it, you know, somewhere kind of like more down the line? Because it seems like it's class dependent. Like, oh, this year's class, well, they're missing some of this talent, but the ones after them, you know, they have it. Like, I guess I'm kind of confused on.
I don't know. There's a little bit of both, but I'll say this: the kids that are good at the sports that I coach are the kids that show up to open gym, the kids that show up to batting practice, the kids that are going to a camp in the off season. When we have an optional practice, or, you know, we're just going to go on Sunday afternoon or whatever, we're going to spend an hour at the ball field, and the half of them that show up, guess who is getting better?
Right.
And it's not the kids who were the best players 3 years ago.
Sure.
So I think it's not so much of a class dependent thing. It's a culture dependent thing.
Well,
and some of that depends on who you had as a youth coach. And so Wyatt's probably screwed. but you know, I don't know. It's really freaking hard, and I get a little bit sensitive when nobody's ever come up to me and chewed my ass about what I do, but I've heard through the grapevine
that they do
some complaints, and they think, well, you're doing a good enough job.
Yeah, we hear it a lot.
I don't think maybe I don't. You know, I've gotten to the point. I don't care, but or not really. You know, it still bothers you. A little bit. But I'm like, I'm the one showing up and doing this stuff, and I'm doing the best I can, and I'm not a trained coach, and I don't know what else I'm supposed to do. But if you want your kid to be better, if you want the team to be better, make them come to everything.
Yeah.
Make them do the stuff.
This instead of sitting on the couch or being on the iPad or whatever.
That'll have way more of an effect than what I can do with them and the limited time that I have with them. You getting out in the backyard and playing catch with your kid will help them a lot more than I can in the hour per week. So
I'm gonna find my boy. I lost to both my boys playing horse earlier this week.
No.
Yeah. That's where I'm at now. My third and fourth grader can beat me at horse. It's not good.
I know. Wyatt's gotten decent at basketball. And you may not know it to look at me, but I've lost a step or two from my prime.
What?
Kind of.
He's harder to defend than he used to be.
I've seen your frosted surprised. Tip prime.
That's right.
I never frosted my tips. Never.
But yeah, now I'm going to see like him doing, well, you think you're pretty good? Oh, huh. How can you handle a full court press? Boom. Oh, yeah. Suck it.
Or we're going to play on an 8-foot basket and allow dunks. Yeah. I thought that too, because, well, the boys wanted to do, okay, you've got to like spin and then through your legs and around your back and then up and in. And I'm like, no. We're doing just shots. Yeah. Shots from the court. And if you bank it, you have to call it a bank, or you don't have to bank it. You know, just very basic traditional. They wanted to just have an NBA dunk contest.
I know. That's what Wyatt does too.
You have to bank it off the house.
All right. Yep. You start at the elbow, dribble between your legs, and then step back. You know, fade away. I'm like, no. First off, I can't do that. So I'm handicapped from the beginning here.
Yeah.
Like, come on. We've known that about you from the beginning, Mitch. And we'll be back with segment 3 after this. You're
treading on thin ice here, bud.
What?
I'm just asking.
You're talking about his bowels.
No, I am not. I'm asking about your diet, what you eat.
It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change.
No, you're not on a diet. No,
that's what
but
people
your
say
diet
when they join a
changed.
Cult. He's going to ask you to become part of his team here soon. Sell some shakes.
It's a low buy-in. No, it's been just shy of a month because it was basically right after Thanksgiving.
So are you sleeping better?
Oh, yeah. No, it's that.
You can give up the CPAP?
No, I'm not saying that. Let's
got a ways to go there.
Yeah. But I'll say that I.
Look at the neck circumference now. Hey, I live in a glass house. I'm not throwing stones here.
But no, I have more energy. I just genuinely feel better.
Good for you.
Yeah. So it's.
All right. Changing subjects before. You tell us about
because I understand that people are conscious of it more than just you. So I'm
yes.
We don't need to talk about my poops. We're not going to talk about how I shit
you realize
normally.
This
now.
Is taking away from the incredible speech that you're. People are going to tune out. They're not going to stick around for that now.
You've done yourself a great disservice.
No, but they're going to have to stick around because they're going to appreciate how far I've come. Or
I don't know. I think just the last 30 seconds illustrate how far you haven't come.
You have an opportunity to delete
poop
stuff.
I could.
You could.
From your vernacular.
From the podcast.
That is not something I have the ability to do, but you're hosting Christmas.
We're hosting
first Christmas. Time.
Yes.
First
well, time usually it's at mom and dad's. It's always at mom and dad's.
Now you're mom and dad.
Well, right.
Is this like a Christmas vacation thing where everybody's going to be there?
No, it's not an overnighter or someone pulls in with an RV. Well, nothing like that.
Do you have a cousin Eddie? Do you have somebody who could be considered the cousin Eddie of the family?
No, I have.
You can tell
friends.
Us. You can tell us
I
off
have friends
air.
With, or I mean, family with campers, but I don't have any cousin Eddie.
Eric?
No, he's way more refined than cousin Eddie.
You sure about that?
Yes.
I think he would take great offense at that.
It was a joke.
We'll hear about it.
But your parents' house was kind of supposed to be done by now, maybe?
Yeah, the hope was that their house or building would be done and we could celebrate Christmas in the new house. Well, then maybe we should celebrate Christmas one more time in the old house. Yeah. Mom and Dad have lived there since 1978. Have our final Christmas, some nostalgia. Walk around, talk about the memories.
Mm-hmm.
And so now a lot of the stuff has moved out of the house to the new house. And we had Thanksgiving there. And the weather wasn't very nice. I think it was wet.
Yeah.
And you've got all these kids. running around and there's only so many places for him to go. So I pitched the ideas to my sisters and I said, okay, if you're all nostalgic and think you got to have Christmas in mom's old house one more time, I get it. But if you're not going to be that way, we'll gladly host Christmas at our house because the kids can go out to the shop, shoot hoops. They can play outside, with the rats, right? Play with the rats and the cats. And, you know, we just have it at our house. And we have a nice open floor plan that can host all of the adults nicely. Plenty of places to sit and eat.
Kids can race around the island and all that stuff.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And so it's happening. Yeah.
What was your wife's reaction when you told her that you volunteered your house?
We have a lot of work to do before then. A lot of things to put away. As you, for whatever reason, whenever you have anybody over, now this isn't a problem for the Geeses, but normal people, you have to make it look like you don't live there.
Correct. Yep.
And it doesn't look like you guys live in your house.
Yeah, it does.
No.
No.
The only way you know you live in your house is there's totes of things put away nicely in the mechanical room, in the storage room. Oh, there are people that live here. Look, there's things.
Maybe they're just moving in.
Or is maybe you could look in the fridge and say, oh, there's food here. There must be someone who intends to eat within the next 7 days who live in this house.
Yeah. There's perishable items.
Right. Narrow sock to be found on any counter space.
No dirty clothes. The dryer is empty. The washing machine is empty.
That's there's not always true, no.
Yeah, but if someone's coming over.
Well, yeah, then.
I'm not going to empty the dryer because somebody's the coming over. Are.
You and I are worrying about way different things than
correct.
The geese are worrying
correct,
about.
Yes. We're worried about, okay, make sure no one goes in this room, make sure no one goes in this room, and make sure no one goes in this room.
Because we set a bunch of stuff on the bed in that room.
I remember I was at your house the one time, Wayne, and I don't remember what we needed, some sort of seasoning or something. You're like, oh, yeah, that's back in the, you have like a shelf in your laundry room or something where it might have been.
Well, I mean, we have a pantry, a walk-in pantry.
Well, yeah, maybe you didn't want me to go in the pantry.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'll go grab it. No, you won't. Because I don't know what had been hidden in there. I'm assuming it was like, there was a pile of trash or dirty dishes or something.
Yeah, it was
shoved in there.
Yeah, it was probably for like, we're around Super Bowl time and it was probably Halloween decorations that were shoved back in there, something like that.
The last time we opened our house to a large group would have been 3 years ago at our open house when we just
was that your birthday?
My birthday open house party where we pretty well just moved the furniture in, moved the appliances in, plugged everything in, wiped everything down and said, welcome to our home.
Yes.
So there wasn't anything to clean up because it was new. Yep. And now you've lived there and now there's things and you're like, okay, let's try to get everything picked up again. And when you have four kids, it doesn't take very long to have a lot of things in a lot of places.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, we're going to work on that on Friday. Well, that's a long ways till Monday Christmas. Maybe we ought to go to Sioux Falls for the weekend so we don't live in here Saturday or Sunday.
And pay someone,
and then we'll come Monday.
Pay somebody a couple $100 to just come make this go away.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, we're getting to be adults now. We can host Christmas.
So does that mean you make all of the food?
No. My mom is bringing the Christmas ham.
Ah, yeah.
Bone in.
Oh,
well, that's the only way to go.
None of this plywood ham for us.
No, formed and
plywood ham. Yeah. We used to get that. This might shock you. We used to get that as a Christmas gift from the radio station.
Oh,
you get
the world's crappiest ham.
You get a
it's
ham.
Like a large spam, basically.
Is, yeah.
I shouldn't call it a plywood ham. It was a particle board ham.
Yeah, particle board.
Yeah, ham flavored product, I think is what it said on the label.
I always thought, I remembered ham growing up, and I'm like, well, I mean, it's ham adjacent.
It's ham-ish.
And
but can you imagine growing up with that, and then you see a real ham, and you go, oh, what's all this?
I wonder.
Oh, what's all there's fat?
I wonder
there's a bone?
I wonder what part of the pig is perfectly rectangular where they can make this ham.
I just remember being, because I started working at the radio station when I was 19. So that probably was the time when I got my first ham. And, obviously I'd never cooked one before. But then being in the grocery store and be like, no shit, hams are only $5. Why am I not eating more ham? All these people talk about ham for a special occasion. It's only $5 and you get this whole like 3-pound deal. What's going on?
Yeah, I bought for Christmas. I went and bought a super expensive ham. Like this super high, it's a Corbett ham. I don't know. They're made in Iowa. Somebody told me it's the best ham you'll ever eat. Yeah. So I went and bought it and I'm thinking, well, I wonder what this is going to be. $4 a pound. Oh, wow. Really splurged for Christmas there.
Yeah.
It was either that or prime rib.
Prime rib, yeah.
Well, I could buy 3 hams for the price of one prime rib. So
yeah, and everybody, for whatever reason, will say, we had a specialty meat. Because had ham.
Yeah.
And put it on the same level as if you had the specialty meat prime rib.
I was looking at it because Hy-Vee's got, or at least they did have prime rib on sale for, it was like $9.99 a pound for a prime rib roast. Boy, that would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It would.
Maybe grandma wants to
buy the prime rib
and then I'll smoke it. There we go.
Speaking of smoking, tomorrow night we have the Van Regenmorter Christmas.
Oh.
And that, of course, that will be held at Grandpa Grandma's house, as it should be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And until, you know, maybe they build a new house and whatever. And brother-in-law Eric, who we spoke so fondly of as
Mitch,
is he cousin our Eddie. Cousin Eddie. He's smoking a brisket.
Nice. Yep.
So that's tomorrow. That'll be good.
That's kind of dangerous, smoking a brisket for a big group.
It is.
Well, you just got to know what you're doing.
And well, I know, but it's an easy thing to mess up, too.
Yeah, but...
It's an easy thing to overcook.
But these are Dutch people.
We got
They're
ketchup.
Used to, eating...
And barbecue sauce.
Overcooked beef.
Yep.
We got ketchup in their wheelhouse.
Barbecue sauce and A1, maybe some 57.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll complain if the meat's too juicy.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you wring this out? Can you put this in the microwave?
So we had Justin on a few episodes ago, and you can get pulled pork sliders or just a pulled pork sandwich. And Justin loves moisture with the pulled pork.
Oh, yeah.
Grown up where there's not supposed to be moisture in the meat.
This is not nearly as sawdusty as I thought.
I asked the waitress, can you ask Justin if he could take the tongs and squeeze the meat?
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with you?
Take all the flavor out, please.
I put it on my butt. And I said, you're going to have to tell him it's Aaron. Because
otherwise he's gonna spit.
I think we'll hear a big FU come roaring out of the kitchen.
He could have thrown it on the hot griddle, I suppose, and cooked all the moisture off, out.
Yeah.
So I could hear him holler the time she went in and told him. Oh, but I think he was hollering because he knew exactly who had asked for it. And
So I guess that begs the question, how did your family prepare pulled pork?
Oh, so that was too exotic.
I don't think we ever ate pulled pork.
Yeah, but I could see it just being like, pulled pork was on sale, 99¢ a pound. We put it in the crock pot and we eat it.
Yeah. So our church does a fundraiser, school does a fundraiser we've got a guy that goes to our church, a very benevolent individual who has multiple smokers, and he'll buy like 1,000 beef butts or something and smoke
pork
them all.
Pork butts.
Yeah, not beef butts, pork butts.
I don't know that I want a beef butt. No.
And I got beef on the mind, the superior meat, but he'll buy the pork and then he'll have a bunch of people over, they'll pull it and then they'll put it into vacuum sealed bags. So there's not a lot of moisture to that. When you do it that way.
Sure.
So then you are putting that in the microwave to warm that up, it is dry. It's not bad dry. You can still eat it, but no, that's what I'm used to when you say pulled pork. not something that my bun,
ma'am?
The bottom of the bun has
ma'am?
Soaked up. If
ma'am?
If my bun has soaked up anything, there's something wrong with
what,
me.
What? Well, I'm sorry, but carbs soaked in fat. And you
a bridge too far.
No, he prefers his carbs to be pure.
Yes.
Yeah,
mess with the bun.
My carbs. He's eating the sandwich for the bun.
The bun. No, the bun's the handle.
That's the highlight. Well, yeah, you grew up eating the ham buns, which is one very thinly sliced deli slice of ham with on a bun and a smear of butter.
You had a ham bun or a cheese bun, but or, if times were good, ham and cheese.
Or the true Dutch style, the open-faced sandwich.
No wonder.
Like, let's stretch this sandwich. Yeah. Yeah,
half the people in Sioux County are skinny fat. You know what I mean? Like they're tall and just like appear thin, but are actually a little bit doughy. It's because they get one slice of ham every week. Otherwise, it's pure carbs.
I feel like you're describing somebody particular.
No, I'm not particular. You know what I mean, though.
I 100% I do. Yeah.
So hopefully Eric does well with the brisket. I'm sure he will. Like. So my mom and dad-in-law, I don't know if they've ever had brisket, really.
Oh, really?
What?
You know, they had it, but didn't, but just thought it was a very thin, long roast beef.
Right, yeah.
That got sliced thin.
That somebody took some red sort marker of ethnic to.
Food.
Yeah, and, yeah. So a very weird-looking roast, which was actually the brisket, but yeah, it'll be.
But it was weird because we couldn't pull it apart with our fork. And turn it into something I could put on a bun.
Oh, they cook it past that point. You know, you get a certain amount of doneness and you can pull it apart, but then it congeals back again when you've gotten it super well done. I think that's the Dutch style.
Yeah, I suppose that, yeah.
Where it takes a sawzall to cut through it.
Well, we better just let her go another hour just to be sure.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't want to be sick.
If I can't boil water on this piece of meat, it ain't done.
Or if it wasn't prepared in boiling water,
I'm surprised. You can't drop it on the floor and it bounces back up to the counter. It ain't done.
I can't wait to let you guys. I'm sure it's going to be really good.
I'm sure it is.
So different. And I'm sure that's why Eric loves to do the little bit different, right?
But yeah. Eric,
so for Eric's, him to say, I will do a brisket.
But Eric's the kind of guy, the guy that says, okay, we're going on a trip. Here's what we're doing. Here's your minute-to-minute itinerary.
Well,
so you know that he's got this expertly mapped out.
Oh, yeah.
It will be down perfectly. It will be at 11:43 p.m., the smoker will be at exactly 225 degrees.
And I can see it on my phone.
And the brisket will go on. We will adjust it for
at approximately 5:08 a.m. I will need to add pellets to the smoker. And but blah, 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 blah. I mean, yeah. it'll be mapped out to the minute.
And at 5, and
it'll be optimized. It'll be optimized so that it's the had rested for the right amount of time, even accounting for travel time.
Yep.
And yeah. So it's ready to go.
We even put in a 5-minute bumper.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in case of traffic in Rock Valley, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I'll be happy to report to you guys tomorrow night that it was delicious.
Look forward to that. Look forward to that.
I know it will be. Yeah.
And this will probably be our last episode for 2023 now that I think about it.
Should we reflect on it?
We should.
Well, it was a good year.
Yeah.
I think it was a good year.
Went by fast.
It sure did. And it seems to go by faster every day.
For us? Yeah. Three?
No, I've had the same job all year.
That's good.
Come on now. I've been there 2.5 years.
Notable things of 2023. Mitch didn't get a different
job. You guys
job.
Are both still in business.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Who would have seen that coming?
That's well.
Despite all odds, we're still here. Let's see. Now the gluten-free thing, that was kind of our big thing.
Council-free.
Council-free.
New man.
You are. You're going to have a lot of pep in your step now, I feel like.
Yeah. New year, new me. I asked Greta last night, hey, do I still get to go to the LLRC for free? No, you don't get to go for free.
You never did.
I know. I remember.
He never showed up to learn that.
No, you're right. But I feel good enough that I might actually think about signing up.
Good. So, they have a nice walking track.
Yeah.
A lot of people of your age and fitness level use that.
Oh, my God.
I walk every morning. That's my exercise, too. Come on. I'm just kidding.
Why don't you just go to the...
I like to walk outside.
Why don't you drive 4 minutes to walk and then drive 4 minutes home?
Well, I mean, I get why people do it.
It's quicker access to a bathroom should you need it.
No, there are trees all along my walk.
For you to poop on?
No.
Oh, man, I mentioned there was it. Gosh, bless America.
I've never had to do that. I had one close call. It was fine. I've never even had to pee on my walk. I'm fine. I prepare myself before I go.
Because if I'm remembering your regimen right, you like you chug coffee. Is that the deal?
I get up and what I do.
What time?
I usually get up before six? 5:45.
Without an alarm?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have an alarm set.
You are an old man.
I have an alarm set as a backstop. Because occasionally, if I wake up in the night, I have a hard time getting back to sleep. And then I will sleep longer. But anyway.
If I get up at 5:45, I have no problem using the bathroom and going back to sleep.
Oh, that would never happen. Yep. That would never happen.
Fall asleep in 5 seconds.
No, yep. I couldn't do it. Anyway, I get up at 5:45, do my Wordle. Then I get up. You know what Wordle is, right?
I do, but
how I get my brain going in the morning. That's the first thing I do. Roll over, do my Wordle. Get up.
Lay in bed and do your Wordle?
Yeah. Oh. I might read a couple articles, but whatever. About six, I'm up and going, usually. I put ice in a coffee mug, like in a ceramic, you know, coffee cup. Put a couple ice cubes in there so it's cooled down enough I can literally chug it right before I go on my walk. That way, I'm between the walk and the coffee, I'm up and ready to go.
That to me sounds like, oh, the old poo factories are ready for business.
Well, that also keeps me on schedule in other ways.
I'd go another block, but I can't.
And then, yeah, then it's shower, you know, all that, get ready to go.
The three S's.
Correct. Yeah. Most men know what we mean by that, yep, right?
You're 100% right.
But it's perfect regimen. And I do not use headphones on my walk.
I don't listen
to anything.
That is weird.
And I go out no matter the weather. Last year, the worst winter I can remember, I missed two. I mean, there were a couple other times where I didn't feel well where I skipped, but I missed twice because of the weather. Otherwise, every day
you were out there when it was just stupid.
Oh, yeah. It was dumb, but
yeah.
I gotta have that routine.
Right.
And yeah, that is an old man thing. God dang. I was trying to resist. You guys were right.
What would happen if Wordle quit?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to find something else. Gotta start my day off with getting the juices flowing.
You've gained a lot of love, I think, from some listeners on this episode going through your morning routine.
Why?
And I think you've gained... more people are like, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
Oh, if they didn't have that thought by now, they haven't been listening very long.
No, they were fine with Mitch, but now they've got it. I mean, there's some people that are just going to be super in your corner. Like, oh, yeah. No, I mean, the guy's had some horrendous takes, but I mean, now that I know his routine.
I don't think I've been wrong really, on this podcast yet.
Really get behind this guy.
You're saying over the 81 episodes?
Oh, maybe once or twice. I mean, I have to admit my faults.
Perfect. You know. Right. Because you're so perfectly imperfect, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I mean, I was wrong once or twice. I just said that.
That's good. That's good of you.
But
I'm kidding.
Could you? Kidding. So if you were left, Aaron, to your own devices, didn't have work or whatever, and you could sleep till your heart's desire, what would your internal alarm clock, when would it wake you up?
See, my alarm clock goes off at 8 hours of sleep. So it would all depend when I went to bed. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's eight hours. I'll get up. So if I go to bed at 11 or 12, I got to have that alarm clock or I'm screwed.
Right.
So,
but if you go to bed at 10, then you're bright eyed and bushy tailed.
Then lay in bed a little while, wait for the wife to get through some of her processes that she does in the morning. And then it's my turn.
Yeah. I don't think I've slept 8 hours.
That would explain a couple things. Actually.
Maybe I need to be on a CPAP and I can just wake up at 5:45 without...
No. I'm on a CPAP, but I can't do that crap. No. Nope.
6.5, 7 hours. I can't go to bed too early or I'll just be up too early. Like, sometimes I'll be tired and I want to go to bed at 9 and I can't.
What would happen if you go to bed at 9? Would you be up at 4?
Yeah, damn right. I've done it.
Oh, my God.
Can't do it. Hmm. Then it throws off my whole day.
Well, yeah, I believe that's kind of a life hack, though, right? I mean, if you're extending your waking hours or your most productive hours, and you're cutting down on the ones that you're just kind of winding down, getting ready for bed anyway, right?
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I'm weird. Sorry, whatever.
Oh, thank God. He actually admitted it, folks.
Oh, good.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It took 80 what episodes? We can shut her down now, everybody. That's all we were looking for.
All right, so we may or may not be back in 2024. We probably are because we'll figure out something else. But I guess now we'll
how soon are you going to get this out?
I'll probably do it tomorrow.
Attaboy. So I don't. Merry Christmas, yes, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Our Christmas gift to you.
Yep.
Longest episode we've done in a year and a half.
You're probably right. Yeah. And
I don't know if it needs any editing. No, I don't want to remove some of your poop.
No, that's more of a you problem than a me problem. So, So it will probably be out tomorrow. And so I should we put in my speech now?
Yes, you have to.
We have to. Okay. Yep. We have to. It's the greatest speech I've ever witnessed this week.
I'd even probably say in December.
Wow.
The best one I've seen in December.
God bless. Well, from all of us at DBA, Merry Christmas and thank you. And we look forward to bringing you more in 2024. Don't forget, you can help us out.
Oh, yeah.
We are on the...
Don't forget us on your Christmas list.
That's right.
Hopefully we're on the nice list.
Sponsorships are open. We have kind of a couple on deck that we haven't really figured out or at least hashed out as far as how we're going to do it. But you can sponsor this podcast. All it is $50 plus a case of beer or $75 if you're lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a small price to pay for all of the entertainment that we bring you throughout the entire year. And until next time, we'll see you.
Legend lives on from Chippewa down of the big lake they call Kitchigoni. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed in tow, the good ship and crew was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
I have a statement I want to make just here on my final day, that I want to start by thanking everyone here that is in attendance. It's this kind of engagement and this kind of discourse that keep communities like ours vibrant and progressive. Seeing and really feeling the passion, the place we call home, is something that I truly, truly appreciate.
The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from somewhere in Wisconsin. Big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and a captain well seasoned, concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms. She left fully loaded for Cleveland, and later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling?
And I won't lie, I'm gonna be glad to be on that side of the passion from now on. But in my 4.5 years of service to Sheldon, I've gained some new friends right here. Some unfortunate enemies. They're not all as nice as they are to preachers as they are to computer salesmen.
And the wives made a tattletale sound, and a wave flush over the rim. And every man knew, and the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. And when afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
And I've healthy respect for what it takes to keep our town strong. I moved here when I was 19, and in those days I was counting the ceaseless hours until someone or something would take me away from this place that always seemed to smell like fried chicken. As I grew and as I matured, I've grown to understand the true value of being part of a community.
When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, fellas, it's too rough to fight. At 7 p.m. it grew dark, and it was then he said, fellas, it's it's been good to know you. The captain wired in, he's got water coming in, and the good ship and crew is in peril. And later that night, when its lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
A far cry from the 66,000 person town that I was from the Thanksgiving dinners that I received at the radio station, from these little old adopted grandmas that I didn't know I had, to like the neighbors that took care of our home when me and my daughter were, where me and my wife were bringing our daughter into the world 6 weeks early and taking care of our home and lawn, and did so unprompted.
Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up, or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep into the water. But all that remains are the faces and the names of the wives, sons.
Now I'm grown, at least physically, and there's no place that my family and I would rather be than in Sheldon. And, you know, that's not to say that we're perfect. We are far from it, but I truly feel that a collection of like-minded individuals, like those of whom I've had the pleasure of serving with, keep that flame burning bright as we start to enter into the unknown. We've heard stories this evening that remind us that we need to keep striving, that we need to keep communicating, and we need to be mindful and be aware.
Take your unrolled superior sins in the roads of our ice water nations. Michigan steams like a young man's dreams, and its islands and bays are for sportsmen. Further below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send. And the iron boats go, and the mariners all know, with the gales of November, remember.
But it doesn't start here. It starts with you. I'm not a politician. I ran and I served because I felt it my duty to do so. But look at this council. We've got not one of the three open seats this time around was contested. We've got four of the five people up here that are on multiple terms and continue to do so because no one else is stepping up. And I understand the reasons. A meeting time doesn't work. I don't like public speaking. I don't like people. I don't want to be able to go to a restaurant with my family and not have someone say, "Sorry to bother you while you're eating, but..." To which I say, if not you, then who? And if not now, when? It doesn't have to be sitting here. It could be at church. It could be at school. On one of the many boards and committees that have openings. Celebration days, Relay for Life, Avenue of Flags, Rise Fest, the list goes on. These organizations, these committees, events cannot run without you. And it's these types of events that make Sheldon what it is. A really nice place. A city full of marigolds. A place where families come first. And a place that I am damn proud to call home. Thank you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I will make the motion to adjourn.
Hold on.
Oh my gosh.
Chippewa down of the big lake they called Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
What the hell's that?